Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've been on a little hiatus, so have the Bears. You know what? Training camps is coming up. Training camp's coming up this week, man. And I'm ready because I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from debating motherfuckers online, using Madden ratings and PFF like scores to like rate players.
right.
I'm over it. You know, so I'm ready for the games to begin, man. And I gotta say something, give our brother props, Dan Skradamus. He said, give him a round of applause. He called it a few months ago that we should look at N'Keal Harry from the Patriots. He was this grunt over there, man. And the Bears made that trade. It's a low-risk, high-upside trade. So I like the move. I think it's a good move. How y'all feeling about that now that training camp's about a couple days away?
I love the move. Wholeheartedly, and I'm going to tell you why. Because, again, this is something that we spoke about in nauseam. And all last season, when Dan called it out and he said, you know, why don't we get this guy a look? Because, again, it looks like New England doesn't want to do anything with him, and we need a big body. N'Keal Harry is 6'4", 225, close to 230 pounds. That is a huge... He's bigger than Allen Robinson, folks. Bigger than Allen Robinson. Faster than Allen Robinson. Yep. Bigger, faster, stronger, younger. Again, younger.
24, 25.
Young. 24 years old, yep. Extremely young. Still on this rookie deal. Now people want to say, you know, let me tell you something, folks. Don't nobody get sorry overnight, okay? He was drafted in the first round for a damn reason, all right? And that's facts. But don't nobody get sorry overnight. Don't nobody just forget how to play football. Do I think that he didn't want to be in New England? Oh, absolutely. Do I think that he sabotaged his way to get out of New England when he voiced the fact that he wanted to trade 2 years ago? Absolutely. Absolutely. However... I think he comes into Chicago, and this could be one of the scary, sneaky, scary moves that on the surface didn't look like it was a big deal until it's a big deal, right? Until it's a big deal, because again, physically, no corner matches up with that. This is, again, and kudos to Dan, because we had this conversation over the phone. He said, this is DK Metcalf. This is DK Metcalf. All over again. From the physical attributes, this is DK Metcalf all over again. 6'4", 230 pounds, muscle, and fast and young. And now he's coming with a point to prove. And if I'm N'Keal Harry and I'm looking at this situation coming into Chicago, they're going to have all the money in the world next season. If I come in here and I ball out, I'm going to get paid. And I create a rapport with the franchise quarterback, and I establish myself as that number one dude, I'm going to get paid. And I'm going to be here for a very long time. So, kudos to Ryan Poles. I know a lot of people was hating and, you know, having, Ryan Poles hires he signs another guy that gets arrested. And, like, excuse me, I'm sorry, but, I mean, let me know when Ryan Poles is, you know, supposed to be these motherfuckers' keeper. These grown ass men, you can't control what they do. None of them had any type of arrest history before they came to the Bears. Okay. Exactly. So what the hell is he supposed to do? Well, what do you think? Are you think they consulting with Ryan Poles every single damn wake of the day on what they supposed to do in their personal life? Get the fuck out of here. You can't control grown men. Stop. People try to paint that narrative. That's BS. But back to N'Keal Harry. He's going to get paid if he balls out and he creates that rapport with Justin Fields. So now you have a wide receiver core, clearly, of just, we talking about the core, right? We ain't even talking about the secondary guys that could be at wide receiver. But we talking about the core guys of N'Keal Harry, Pringle, Jones, Mooney. That's the four, folks. That's the primary four. And then you also throw in Equanimeous St. Brown at 6'5". And the Bears, look, on paper, it may not be whatever what you want it to be.
They ain't got the Madden ratings, bro.
Exactly. You know, but you know another team that didn't have the Madden ratings or didn't have the stars on paper and they end up winning a damn Super Bowl. Remember they called them the Smurfs or the Washington, formerly known as the Washington Redskins back in the 80s? And it was unstoppable and unguardable. Just because people, I want people to understand, like, don't get caught up on names, okay? Because you didn't know who the hell the Legion of Boom was before they became the Legion of Boom. If you did, you're lying. All right? So don't get caught up on names, man. That shit is just good on paper. Remember, the Philadelphia Eagles had nothing but names and called themselves the Dream Team, and they missed the damn playoffs. Let that sink in for a minute.
It's a, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm happy that they pulled the trigger on it. Ryan Poles is, you know, he's making moves and every move along the way has been, you know, something that you can see working out for the Bears in the long run. You know, I mentioned this last year when N'Keal Harry looked like you said, it looked like they didn't want to do anything with him. He just didn't fit that system. I think he's talented. He's skilled. His skill set is there. You know, when we mention DK Metcalf, people don't jump on there. Oh, DeVore and Dan said that this is DK Metcalf. That's not what we're saying. Right. We're saying it's comparable. His body is measurable. Comparable to what DK Metcalf is. Facts. You know what I mean? If you look at the size, the jumping ability. You know, those things that you want from an outside guy as a wide receiver position, he possesses a lot of those qualities. So it's going to see, the ex receiver is going to be interesting to see how he fits in and what he does with it. You know, this, I think it was a great deal. You think about what we gave up. You know, Poles went to the table and he gave up a seventh round draft pick. Let's be clear.
2024.
Let's be clear. Damn. Seventh round draft picks don't even make the roster most.
At 2024.
In 2024, yeah. 2 years from now. So, you know, you'll never miss that pick. Trust me. But we have the ability to possibly get a guy who's hungry, who's still young at 24 years old, can run, can jump, strong, and wants to do well, right? He didn't get his opportunities in New England. And we said this in a podcast, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, before we went on our hiatus, we mentioned it that, you know, guys are not named players until they get that opportunity.
Right.
And maybe, you know, will be once he gets an opportunity. We don't know yet. We got to see how it plays out. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Man, I'm looking forward to it. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, man, like, I remember him from Arizona State. He was, like, just dominating, right? And so, like, I ain't watched a lot of football.
Right.
So I went back and watched his possessions from the 2021 and the 2020 season. He still does the same thing. He's still a big body guy. He's a go up and get it guy. And like Dan, you were saying that you're talking about style of wide receivers. And you said you want every style. Well, he would be that style. He's that big X, go up and get it guy, you know, possession receiver. And then you got Mooney at the Z, who can just, he's like a chess piece. You can move him all around. He's fast, he's quick, he can do a little bit of everything. And you got Valus Jones Jr., who's a gadget, who you can run jet sweeps, you can run him out of the backfield, you can have him go deep. And then you got Pringle, who's a little bit of everything. He can play X, he can play Y, he can play Z. He's big, he's fast. And you start saying,
possession guy too?
Yeah, you start saying, I can see a little something. I can see them, you know, coming out, and these dudes are like you said, we mid-season, we like, damn, these Bears receivers are kind of, they kind of legit. You know, so it's a good pickup, man. They gave up basically pennies to get him.
Facts.
A 2020, because like when you trade a future draft pick, it drops around. So what's a future 2024 pick? What, a undrafted free agent? Like, you know, if he works out, if they get anything out of him, bro, it's a win. You know,
I believe they're going to get a lot out of it. And this is why I say this, you know, because now, and I've always said this, Mooney is more dangerous as a slot than what he is as a Z. He is more dangerous as a slot than what he is as a Z, because as a slot, now he's matched up with nickel corners or linebackers or strong safeties. He will be deadly. That's damn near a guaranteed first down coming off the line. Good luck. Good luck.
Him and Valus with that speed.
Exactly.
I've always been the type of person where, you know, in the passing game, I want to be able to attack all areas of the field.
Yes, sir.
Right? And that's what a player like him does for you, because you got to roll some coverage. You got to pay attention to the big body over there, right? Especially if he gets off to a decent start and kind of hits stride, and teams are going to start paying a little bit of attention to him, right? That opens up the seams, right, for Cole Kmet. That opens up the underneath stuff for Velus Jones and Mooney. And that Mooney's on the other side going deep. You can attack so many different areas of the field. That's what makes defenses, you know, that's what puts pressure on defenses when they have to cover everywhere instead of just, we know what they're going to do. They're going to run this hitch route. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We got things like last year where guys will run into the same area of the field, you know, like that. You're not going to have that. You have the ability to attack everywhere on the field. And Justin Fields is the quarterback that can get the ball to anywhere on the field that you need him to throw the ball to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He can extend the plays. That bodes well for guys like Mooney and guys like N'Keal Harry. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, man. But, you know, I'm excited for what this can bring. And you have people talking about it because, you know, I had a homeboy. He lives in Texas. He sent me a thing. He's a Giants fan, believe it or not. But he sends me a thing. He's like, you know, the GM should be fired off of this. And I'm like, dog, don't talk to me. Because you don't pay attention to football.
Facts.
If you can look at the receiving corps and say something about it, you don't know football, and you don't know what the Bears had last year and what we dealt with. It's a totally different locker room. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different wide receiver room. And you can see that there's improvement before we even play any games. I know that there's improvement from top to bottom on that roster. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for, man. People need to just pump the brakes a little bit, understand that there's going to be some learning curves and things like that going on along with it. But at the end of the day, we have a real good opportunity. And that's all you can ask for, is give us the opportunity to be better. And that's what they can do.
Yeah, man, I don't know why people are like not excited about having a young team, bro, that's athletic and exciting. Like, you know, I don't think we're going to win the Super Bowl, but damn, man, we got a bunch of young guys on the team. Like, we won it this last year, right?
Yeah.
We had all these veterans. We had seen them before. They were old. They were injured. We were like, play the young guys. Now they got nothing but young guys. And people were like, well, not, I'll say most Bear fans, but like some people in the media, the Bears media, you know, in the national media. And then, you know, they got their, I call them the mainstream media cuckolds, who they agree with everything the mainstream media says. It's like they're trying to get a job or something. I don't know. Oh, they said that person's bad. Yes, that person's bad. Like, come on, bro. Stop fucking dick riding.
You know? Right. And the killing part about that, you know, I think I was talking to somebody else on Twitter, you know, an alleged, supposed to be Bears fan. And, you know, he's saying, right. And he's saying, like, I don't know about that defense and yada, yada, yada with all the losses. And I'm like, do you know that all those young guys were on that defense last year? And they were the ones that was turning up the pressure. You know, after Khalil Mack went down, the Bears' pressure went up. You do know that, right?
Travis Gibson.
Exactly. Like, come on, man. Like, why are we even going there right now? Like, the pressure went up. Yeah, the pressure went up. You know what I'm saying? From that front four, that pressure went up. You know what I'm saying? They was getting to the quarterback more frequently on that defensive line. So, you know, I feel that they're going to, you know, I honestly say that this defense is going to shock a lot of people. This offense is going to shock a lot of people. And like I said, don't be surprised if we come out 4-0. 3-1 at worst, but 4-0. Don't be shocked, because I wouldn't be. I'd be like, I told you so. I knew it was going to be this way. Again, we have a lot of for those that know football, it's a known unknown. What I mean by known unknown is those who know how to break down the game, they know what they're looking at. They know what we're dealing with. Okay. Now, again, I was realistic last year and I told you, look, this going to be a loss. That's going to be a loss. That's going to be a loss. That's going to be a fucking loss. They not winning this one. They ain't winning now. Oh my, yeah. Hell yeah. No chance in hell. I told you it was no chance in hell. They got the doors blew off their ass. I told you that was no chance in hell. But now I'm telling you right now, we're going to start on fire early, because we're going to catch a lot of people slipping. And the only possible one loss is the Packers, but I see us beating them, catching them off guard. And then you catch Aaron Rodgers without his safety blanket and Davante Adams. So that starts early. But I wanted to touch on a tweet that I put out there, and I want people to understand this, right? Justin Fields is talented enough to take the Bears to the playoffs against this schedule by himself. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, look at the Philadelphia Eagles of last year, right? And look at what Jalen Hurts did last year for this very for a roster that was very talent strapped at wide receiver. So hold in on that, right? Because they had a rookie Devontae Smith. They had Jalen Reagor, who possibly could be getting cut and released before the season start, which could be another guy that could possibly be added to the Bears. Seriously. And people want to laugh at it like, oh, here we go, everybody that gets released. No, I'm dead ass serious. That could be another guy that could possibly. Yeah, I like them coming out. That's another guy. But you know, Jalen Reagor went to Arizona State. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know who he played there with, right?
Yep.
N'Keal Harry.
He pops up on those highlights. If you watch some of those little highlights,
yeah.
He pops up. Yeah.
He played there with N'Keal Harry. So I'm just saying. All right. I mean, I ain't trying to connect the dots, but I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is this with Justin Fields. Justin Fields, all he has to do is be a playmaker, and he will take this team to the playoffs. Right. And then I had somebody else that honed in and was like, oh, well, has there ever been a quarterback like that has made it to the Super Bowl playing that way? Yes, Colin Kaepernick. And was one play away from fucking winning it. Okay? Colin Kaepernick came in and was a playmaker. They weren't asking him to be a Tom Brady. And I think that's where people fuck up with Justin Fields, because you're expecting him to sit in the pocket and be a game manager instead of saying, you know what, go out there and win me the fucking game. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. Win me the game. And that's what Justin Fields does. That's what made him so electric at Ohio State. They took the cuffs off. When he was in Georgia, they had him clamped down. You only play a certain way. That's why he got the fuck on.
He had a coach that did him like that, too.
Exactly.
Bears uniform, right?
Exactly. Called, you know, Matt Nagy.
I got a little bit of a different view on it, Merle. I mean, I know Justin Fields can do things that we haven't had, you know, at the Bears position, you know, and with the quarterback position at all, right? He's dynamic in so many different ways with his legs, with his arm. He's got the smarts for the game, everything like that, right? But the problem that I have that is I'm not saying don't be excited. I'm saying I don't want to feed this this narrative that, hey, he's going to get the job done regardless, because there are going to be growing pains. And what I don't like to see is what I saw last year from people, right? And what I saw last year from people was people super critical of the guy, you know what I mean? And not allowing him to be a rookie, not allowing him to grow. So allow him to grow, allow him to blossom. We know what he can do. I know what he can do because I've seen him do it, right? And anybody that's watched football has seen it happen. So that's where the optimism comes in, right? But at the same time, I feel like Bears fans need to understand that, hey, this is going to be a growing process. It's not just going to be, you know, boom, hit the ground running and we're off and rolling. You know what I mean? I just don't, I don't see that happening. Now, could it happen? Of course it could. But I just don't see it happening like right off the bat like that. I think it's too many moving parts and too many new scenarios that have to mesh in order for that to really take off like that.
I agree.
Yeah, like, yeah, my thing, I don't think the team is going to ask him to be that level yet. And I don't think that means that maybe, you know, I think the Bears are going to be run heavy, right? Like one of the Harry's things he does, he's a hell of a run blocker. Mooney can run block. Davis Jones can run block. Pringle can run block. Equanime and St. Brown can run block. I watched the game the other day with the Packers, and they brought him in just to run block, you know? So they're going to run the ball. David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert going to eat. And I believe they're going to run the ball. They're going to run a lot of play action. They're going to run bootlegs. They're going to run sprint outs. And they're going to, that's what he's going to be able to be, a playmaker. But I don't think they're going to ask him to be a playmaker 40 times a game.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to run the ball. They're going to do some RPOs. Some, like the thing is, we talked about this last couple podcasts ago. With Aaron Rodgers, people think Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball 40 times a game and he's, like, spinning out of the pocket and, like pushing off tacklers. No, he does that a couple times a game. But if you watch the Green Bay Packers, bro, most of what he does is easy stuff. They, like, slant to Devontae Adams, screen, you know, to Randall Cobb. You know, they hit Tunyon on a little dig route. You know, it's easy stuff. And then they shine with their athleticism or their arm talent, like, a couple times a game. But it leaves this perception that they're doing it all the time. That's what Nagy felt, Justin. He would still make those spectacular plays, but there weren't enough easy things in his, like, this. Like, I need you to just pick up 8 yards, bro. Like, run a slant, throw it to him, get the first down.
Play the next one with that, bro.
You know, there was nothing easy. Everything was hard. Only person I've seen can do that consistently over the course of the season is Pat Mahomes, right? That's the only person I've seen. He couldn't win the Super Bowl. He couldn't do it. You know, they were basically asking him to evade 5 rushes and throw the ball in a triple coverage between, like, 5 defenders. You know, it can't be that hard. And I don't think they're going to make it that hard. I think it's going to be more run the ball, bootleg, play action, pick up 17 yards, pick up 12 yards, hit them deep. And then in like 4 or 5 times a game, you'll see Justin Fields do something amazing. You know what I mean?
You know, you're spot on with that, because we talked about that, you know, during the season, that everything, it was an arduous task for the Bears to move the ball. At all. It was super difficult on every single level. Just to hand the ball off, just to hike the ball sometimes, it seemed like it was just taxing on everybody on the field. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we never had that situation where we had easy plays to get in a rhythm to and then bust somebody's dome open. You know what I'm saying? That's what you want to do on the football field. And I think that, you know, you're spot on with that. You know, I think they'll really focus on getting some easy plays, getting in that rhythm, and then, like I said, you know, splitting somebody's wig down the field somewhere.
If you've seen the year that Colin Kaepernick took the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl, right? And this is what I mean by be a playmaker, right? He wasn't throwing the ball 40 times a game.
Nope.
And what was the Niners' offense eccentric around? Frank Gore. Run heavy. And then bootleg, play action, things of that nature.
Zone read,
right? And then when he went to drop back the pass, if he's open, throw it. If not, you got 15, 20 yards in front of you. Take off.
Yeah.
Take off. That's what I mean by be a playmaker, right? Make the play. If it ain't there, don't force it. Take off. Get down. Justin can do that all day long. All day long. And then I hear people, oh, well, those teams had good defenses and a great offensive line. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. The Niners had a hell of a defense. That was about it. Philly didn't have a hell of a defense nor a hell of an offensive line. And Jalen Hurts did the same exact thing last year and took him to the wild card. Okay? When the hell has the Ravens had a great defense since the days of Ray Lewis? After Ray Lewis took off, the Ravens defense ain't been stellar like that. I'm sorry, but Lamar Jackson does the same thing. If it's there, throw it. If not, take off. You mean to tell me Justin Fields can't do this? Get the fuck out of here.
The Niners last year.
Exactly.
That whole Niners game, that's what it was.
Exactly. He was just being a playmaker. If it's there, mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it. If it's not, okay, I'll make something happen. I'll make something happen because I know I'm more of an athlete than your defensive lineman, okay? And if I can scramble and get open, if I can scramble and get away, which more so not he fucking did, look, it's going to be a long night for your defense.
Just a mere bootleg or naked.
Exactly.
Understand why they didn't utilize that.
If it wasn't for our offense last year, if it wasn't for our defense last year laying down and pissing down their damn leg and Roquan chasing motherfuckers down the field trying to punch them in the head and shit, if that didn't happen, if the defense, you know, didn't turn over and turn up ass, that was a dub. Easy.
Yeah.
We was up on them by two scores. Two scores.
Yeah, they couldn't do nothing with that boy. They had a top five defense.
You see what I'm saying? And they couldn't do nothing with Justin Fields. Nothing at all. And that's with no receivers, folks, and no offensive game plan. Come on now. You mean to tell me that he's not that much of a playmaker to where he can take off when it ain't there? Why not? And there ain't even no spy out there on him.
The thing is, Nagy can stay disciplined with it. You know, like, it will work. Nagy, like, What stuck out to me is in 2019, I'll never forget this, he said, I wasn't brought here to run the I formation. That was his team's best
offensive performance that he wasn't even in the game. He wasn't even there to call the plays.
Yeah, no, San Francisco.
Yeah, he wasn't even there to call the damn plays. Y'all know who was the play caller? Bill Lazor was that day.
Mm-hmm.
With the interim head coach. What was the special teams coach name? He was the interim head coach.
Sabre?
Yeah.
Chris Tabor.
Chris Tabor was the interim head coach, and Bill Lazor called that damn game. It was the Lazor show.
Yeah. What 49ers did, and this is when you have a strong run game, what they basically did, they wore the Bears out with that run. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's how they get Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo ain't nothing special. They run the ball. They pound the ball. They That's tire it. You out. And by the time the third, fourth quarter, they do that play action, you bite because you're tired of getting run over.
Yep.
And guess what? Debo Samuel's running wide open.
Yep, and that's what happened. Wide open. And that's what happened. Well, one of the plays, it was just piss poor tackling on the behalf of what's my man Crawford and Eddie Jackson, where Debo Samuel took off.
Yeah,
and that was the turning point of the game. I think we was up by 10 at that point, and Debo Samuel caught that little slant or hitch and shook off my man and was gone off to the races.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, man. You know, it seemed like they just was having gash play after gash play after gash play. That's when you know your defense is gassed.
Yup.
They was gassed.
That's what they do. And people like that, and that's the thing that people don't get, and I keep saying it. You have to have a style of play. We had no offensive style of play in the Madden.
No philosophy, no nothing.
What was our style of play? Throw the ball, hitches. Like
trash.
Straight up. It reminds me of that play where, like, that coach from the Water Boy, when he was like, no. He fakes to the left. No. Then he goes right. He thinks about faking to the left. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. That was Matt Nagy.
I'm about to black out.
Right. That was Matt Nagy. I don't know what the hell I'm doing right now.
That was Matt Nagy.
Hey. Lost. Hey, it is what it, you know, that's the Matt Nagy story. Is the coach of the damn South Carolina State University Mudhounds was a hell of a play caller.
Mud Dogs.
Yeah, Mud Dogs. Mud Dogs. He was a hell of a play caller and then got punked and just was a shell of himself ever since.
Lost his playbook.
But he lost his playbook.
Was Andy Reid.
And then he got his mojo back. You know, again, like he said, that's the dead part. When he said, I'ma have that playbook one way or another. Or I was gonna get awfully physical up in here. And I don't think you want that, Clyde, now, do you? He said, this is gonna get awfully physical off in here. That's the dead part right there.
Because he did it to people when they were like at the pep rally, too.
Right? Yeah.
He did it
yeah.
to the pep rally. Yeah. He's a PTSD. He's going awfully physical.
He's just like,
not again.
Right. He just disappeared. Faded behind the crowd like the Homer Simpson in the bushes. Like, let me get the hell on up out of here.
Oh, man.
But yeah, man, I mean, that's what I mean by being a playmaker. Justin Fields, just be a playmaker. That's it. If Justin Fields is a playmaker, I like our chances. And that's what people got to understand, you know. Everybody is so caught up on what he did last year with Matt Nagy. You can't count that. You can't count last year with Matt Nagy. Because Matt Nagy didn't know what the hell he was doing.
You cannot in good conscience do that, bro.
Exactly.
You can't. If anybody that knows football, you cannot hold that dude and say, you know, we got to hold your feet to the flames on how you performed last year.
Facts.
Now, can you take some things and he can work on some things like ball security?
Yes.
Right?
Awareness. Not
dropping the ball when he's scrambling. Those are the things that I want to see improvement on. But as far as other things, man, you just can't. It would be a derelict, you know what I mean? It's bad, bro. If you was to do that, then something's wrong with you. You're stupid. I'm just gonna be honest.
And like I said, ain't no fucking way in hell we are losing to a motherfucker who ain't played a full game in 3 years. I'm not buying that, man. I'm not. There is no way on God's green earth that's happening, man. I just don't see it happening. Cause just like Justin Fields took his lumps last year, you know, just like he took his lumps last year, my man gonna have to take his lumps this year. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna have to take his lumps this year. And there is no way in hell we losing to that. It's just not happening. So.
Yeah, and he's playing the defensive head coach. That's another thing that gave him
exactly.
Fits.
Exactly.
You don't think they'll be switching up coverages and dropping people back and showing cover three and going to cover one and cover four and cover two and zone dog? Then they're going to be throwing everything at this dude. You know, week one, his Soldier Field going crazy, dude.
Facts.
It's going to be a good game, man.
It's going to be a real good game. I'm going to be there to watch it. But, man, I'm telling you, that's a dub. Okay.
I do got a question though. We were talking about secondary.
What's up?
You know the media is making a big deal of this. Jaquan Brisker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is not showing up to training camp because there's some little contract language that hasn't been worked out. I don't think it's a big deal. I remember Roquan Smith. You're already starting to see Brisker doesn't attend the beginning of training camp. This is concerning.
And my thing is, the beginning of training camp don't start till fucking next week. So it's like, how do you know? This is the same situation that we dealt with Roquan Smith. It's language in the contract they're going to work out. He will be there. Relax. Okay? People who start with that negative Nancy shit, I'm like,
get the fuck out of here.
Because we don't need it. Not one bit. It will be okay, folks. He will be there. He's going to be the starter. Okay? Chill out. He may miss a game or two. So? It's okay.
I don't think he's
going
to miss a game.
I don't think so either.
No.
But even if he does, so? He'll be there. Relax. Please.
another misstep by the Poles Eberflus regime.
Oh, God.
Read my negative article at 6.
Right. Negative article at 6.
What did you think about the Brisker thing, Dan?
Jaquan Brisker, man. I mean, yeah. You know, I think it's much to do about that. It ain't that big of a deal. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It is what it is. I don't have that much to say about it, to be honest with you.
How did y'all like to meet the rookies, man? I seen the one on Brisker was pretty dope. I like that one. I love the one on Kyler Gordon. I ain't know my man was a dancer.
Yeah, man. He still got videos on YouTube of him dancing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
When he's a little kid.
He was out there.
The same pure, hair, dude.
Yeah. With the same hair.
Version,
right.
But like a 12-year-old version of him.
He was out there getting it, man. I'm like, damn, dog, talented, man. He can dance and... Yeah. Kung Fu. You know what I'm saying? Kung Fu master and shit. Like, damn.
You make fun of him dancing and kick your ass in the face.
Exactly. Roundhouse the shit out your ass. Like,
oh,
damn.
You dance? Wow.
With the cleat on. Like, damn. I know that hurt.
Man, bro.
Like, damn, I know that hurt. But yeah.
They were dope, man. I like them, man. It gives you a little insight. I watched Brisker at a thing at Penn State. So I kind of knew about his little backstory, even his brother, you know, his brother passing.
Yeah. I didn't know he got shot.
Yeah. Yeah, Vegas got shot.
Vegas
got shot.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that was
that was crazy. Movie. Like, damn, it's going down there in the gump down in Alabama.
Yeah. Because Vegas come off right, like real clean cut.
Yeah.
He's from the hood, though.
Yeah, him and his pops, man. Look, you know what I'm saying? I was talking about his pops. Said his pops was a hell of an athlete. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, you got to live up to your pops, man. You know, if you halfway as good as your pops, you'd be
like. I like what his mom said. His mom said everybody like want to, you know, meet their favorite football player. I gave birth to mine. I was like, right there.
I'm like, damn, check that out. Okay.
They started off like that. I was like, okay.
Right. That was pretty dope, man. That was definitely pretty dope. But yeah, they said Brisker's brother was better than him.
Yeah.
In football.
That's crazy, dude. Brisker's a maniac.
So obviously, you know, that just goes to show that, you know, probably why he didn't make it because he was too far off into the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or probably didn't have the grades or whatever. But, you know, his brother looked like Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, he did.
You know, that was crazy. I'm like, wow, okay then. And of course, you know, his journey there, and of course, you know, from the fact that, damn, he did all this in what, 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
1 year, he was at Penn State for two.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying, he balled out, you know what I'm saying, his junior year, they showed some promise, and his last year at Penn State, man, he put in work. That boy put in work.
Yeah,
he caught my eye, that's for damn sure. I'm like, man, who the hell is this number one for Penn State? He nice.
He's if you watch Penn State on defense, he's everywhere. I was watching the old like Justin Fields like highlights.
Man, he's all over the field.
He was all over the field on that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you like from safeties.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, this is a guy that's gonna be able to come down into the box. I was trying to explain this to people before, right? And you know, I got into it with a couple of people about Eddie Jackson. And now I've been an Eddie Jackson critic, just like all of us have, right? Mm-hmm. And we've called him out on several times where, you know, things didn't seem like they were looking right. But if you really look at Eddie Jackson's numbers and what he's done, he's tackled more in the last couple of years than he has in his entire career, even dating back to college, right? So when people say he doesn't tackle, you don't want your safeties getting 100 tackles. I told people that. If your safeties are getting 100 tackles, 120 tackles, you got major issues because that means your linebackers ain't tackling or for dime. That's who's supposed to rack up the tackles, you know? So Eddie Jackson's going to be able to freelance and do what he wants to do now that we have this guy Brisker, and he's going to be able to come down into the box and do more of the thumping, more of the heavy lifting, and allow Eddie Jackson to get back to kind of like what he's normally – what he's enjoyed doing, right? What he was good at. So, you know, it's just, you know, people have to look at the game and really understand the nuances of the game before they just run with whatever they want to blurt out of their mouths, man. It's just, I have like a little bit, no patience for it at all anymore. It's really kind of frustrating me. Because it's like, man, you got to see this. You got to see the game for what it is. Stop, you know, just blurting out what you hear some talking head on, you know, ESPN or whatever say. You know, it just don't make sense.
Yeah, well, it runs rampant, and we all know that Eddie Jackson is better off playing open.
Being the free safety instead of the strong safety.
For 2 years, bro.
With Amos.
Yeah.
That was his best year. That was his best year.
And 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with Amos, as soon as Amos left, what happened to Eddie Jackson?
He disappeared.
They tried to make you play strong safety.
Yeah, they did. I'm like, what the fuck? That ain't his game. He ain't even big enough to do that.
No. He's not.
Yeah, he's not. And I like the fact that they signed, what's that one guy, Kerchak, because he feels he's a backup.
Yeah.
But he also can play that role, let's say, in case Brisker misses games. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
He plays down in the box.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it was they interviewed Jaquan, and they were asking him, they were like, hey, well, who's going to play high? He's like, I'm going to play low. He's like, I'm going to let Eddie do Eddie. He likes to hit. And that's what I like about him. He's like, he reminds me of like Bam Bam from like Flintstones, bro.
Yeah.
Like he's just everywhere, you know, we call in the hood and call everybody Bam Bam. I like to hit Bam Bam. He's reminds me, he's just hitting people. He hitting people. I can just see him and Roquan just smacking them like all day. And that's what you need. And you just let Eddie Jackson sit back there and make those reads. If he got to make a tackle, we got to make a tackle. It goes back to putting your players in the best position. Understand their flaws. He ain't a good tackler, a great tackler. He's a mediocre tackler. How about not ask him to make a bunch of tackles?
Right.
What is he good at?
Oh, man. I don't care if you got to stab him. Don't let him get past you. He said, I don't give a damn if you have to stab him. Don't let him get past you. Like, damn. Like, hey, just get in his way, Eddie. Just get in his way, he gonna fall, man. Just fall down in front of him, shit, and grab on to him. He was getting some of them shits. He was getting embarrassed, man. Like, damn, dog.
Yeah.
Making business decisions and shit. Like, come on, man. That year before, he was making a lot of business decisions.
Yeah,
everybody was. That's the thing, though. Everybody was last year, and I told people that was going to happen too. When at the beginning of the season, I said by game 2 or 3, this team will have quit. He will have lost the locker room, and that's exactly what happened. And then you go through the season, and people expect guys to play a certain way, and they're not going to play that way. It's a safety. Who is that safety that got offered a deal, and it was trash? Y'all remember that? I think it was like last week. I tweeted about
Bates.
It. I forgot his name.
Was it Bates?
Who is it?
Yeah
Jesse Bates.
Yeah.
Jesse Bates. Watch what happens with Jesse Bates, right? He's a really good safety. One of the best safeties in the league.
He was Cleveland, right?
They offered him a 6-year deal.
Yeah.
That would pay him $4 million more than the 1 year of a franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it down, so he's going to sign the franchise tag. And then become a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
They was gonna sign him for 6 years and pay him $4 million more. That's a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when Jesse Bates now goes into the season and he's making business decisions, watch, the fans are gonna turn on him. And to me, I feel like that's ownership, and that's these organizations that pit the fans against the players and try to shame the players into playing a certain way when, hey, at the end of the day, I can't blame them for that, bro. I really can't. Yeah. I can't blame, you know, Jesse Bates if he goes out there and makes a business decision or two because he got to protect his health and make his money because they won't give him none. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that.
It's a dirty game, man. I think one of the biggest things that billionaires – were able to do would it make the little man, like average working people, side with them over millionaires.
Right.
You know, it's like, dude, they're billionaires, you know? They got no love. Like, with the money, I don't care, pay them. You know, pay them, whatever. You know, I want to get paid too. If somebody going to pay me millions of dollars to do a job, and hell, pay me, you know?
Exactly.
But So I ain't mad at him, man. But as far as money and our safety, like Eddie Jackson too, they just recently did a video. Yeah, he got his money, but if you want to keep his money, you want to keep getting it. He got a ball. Right. This is different. Because you know, if he don't, this machine next year, ain't draft him. They going to cut him. Yeah. They got enough money to keep him and without a problem, but he going to have to bring it.
They'll address free safety in the draft.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Or you might have a guy on the roster that can play. They make a slot. Even Felice is known to take these late-round unknown guys and make them solid players. It can be that one guy they drafted, Elijah Hicks. He turns out to be a solid, just solid, maybe not spectacular, but a solid player.
Right.
You know, this is what happens, man. When you got a guy like this, a guy that has taken guys who aren't well-known and made them household names. Darius Leonard was considered a reach. Kenny Moore was a dude they plucked off the scrap heap in New England. And these guys are superstars now, you know. So
I told people, I said, when Eddie Jackson was an all-pro, he had 51 tackles. 51 solo tackles and 10 assisted tackles. In 2020, he had 82 and 19. And then 2021, 76 and 22. When he's tackling that much, that means he ain't doing nothing else on the field. And that's a problem. So, yeah, maybe he can get back to that 50 tackle range, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a lot of tackle. Not especially when you're running this 4-3. I know they ain't going to be in the 4-3, but so much time. You got more linebackers, more down defensive linemen. Brisker playing more down. He's playing more.
And you want your defense to get off the field. So it's less opportunities to get tackles because y'all getting up off that field, three and outs.
Create takeaways.
Take the ball away. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So, you know, that's what this is going to look like. So, you know, if anybody's looking for guys to have crazy tackling numbers, we don't want to see great tackling. I want to see the defense off the field.
I think you see Roquan, he's going to eat a lot of tackles.
He's going to Roquan be. Get his, yeah. Listen, I'm making this prediction. Right now, Roquan Smith is going to be a difference maker on that defense, not just somebody that racks up tackles. He's going to have a lot of impact plays in this defense. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. Mark my words.
I agree.
He is going to make a lot of impact plays. And people couldn't understand when I was saying that last year. Oh, he has a lot of tackles. Fuck them tackles. It's about impact plays, impactful plays. He didn't have a lot of them. He had a lot of tackles, a lot of them with 15, 20 yards downfield. This year, he's going to have a lot of impactful plays.
That's why I said PFF and fantasy football, they have ruined the game of football for a lot of people because people just base their knowledge of the game off of looking at somebody's numbers and looking at somebody's stats, saying you had a good year or whatever, instead of looking at the game and seeing how many impactful plays he makes, how many times is he around the ball, is he creating chaos out there? Those are the things that really let a guy know that you're doing your job on the football field.
Go ahead, Will. What was you about to say?
I was about to say. About Roquan. Roquan, in this system, Darius Leonard. When we talked about this, Darius Leonard, the maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Briggs. He's going to eat a lot of tackles. He's going to play. I think he might play the Mike and the Will, depending on Morrow, when they go to nickel.
Right.
But man, this defense – I think this defense is going to shock people. When as you're saying, I think this team is going to shock people.
Yeah.
I think that aspect is going to shock people. There's little things that I've noticed that they said. They focus it on turnovers. We haven't done that in a while. You know, also, I want to touch on this too. I'm going to switch a little bit. Darnell Mooney. This is the difference in coaching, right? Darnell Mooney said that Luke Getsy taught him to run off the ball, run off the line, where there's a run play or a pass play, like it's a real route, which is shocking because I'm like, Matt Nagy didn't do that? So when it's a run play, you just kind of walk off the line and so they know it's a run. So you're basically tipping a handle. You get what I'm saying? So the fact that this man said that he's going to run off the line like it's a pass play, every single play, like it's a, even if it's a run play, they caught me a little like, man, these dudes didn't know what the hell they were doing last year.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They had no idea. Because how do you disguise the play? Like, the one thing about these Shanahan disciples, they always say the run looks like the pass and the pass looks like the run. And that's how you keep teams all balanced. If you're a balanced team, right, you run the ball just as much as you pass it, you don't know what they're going to do based on down and distance. Maybe you can tell, maybe it's 30, maybe they can probably pass the ball. But outside of that, if you keep it manageable, they should be unpredictable. And it's things like this, these teaching points, these coaching points, is why I'm optimistic about this team. I don't think the Bears, they may not have top flight talent, but they have some talent. I think Darnell Mooney is talent. I think Cole Kmet is talent. I think Roquan Smith, Jalen Johnson.
David Montgomery.
They're talented. David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert.
Khalil Herbert.
These guys Justin have talent.
Fields. That's talent, folks.
Larry Burrow, Tevin Jenkins. But what the hell were they teaching these guys?
Right.
Nobody was getting coached when Fangio left. You know?
Exactly. And this is why I said, gentlemen, we won six games just off what we had alone. And that was without Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, you know, Akeem Hicks. That was without them. Okay, six games without them and no coaching. Coaching wins you at least four games alone, and that's with a depleted roster and just try hard ability. Coaching will win you four games alone. Four games alone, just four games. Think about the games that we should have won last year that we dropped. Both Minnesota games, the Steelers game that we should have won. The Niners game that we should have won. That puts us in the playoffs, folks. 10 dubs. That puts us in the playoffs. I'm glad it didn't, because I wanted Matt Nagy to get the hell out of here along with Ryan Pace. I wanted them to go. So I'm glad we didn't win them games. You know what I'm saying? But easily, those four games that I just mentioned to you were games that we should have won. The Lions game. Did we lose that game?
Nah, we beat
them. No. We swept them last year. That was the year before. Yeah, that was the year before.
We beat them. We swept them 2 years in a row.
Okay.
I think, was it 2019? It was the game when
they shocked us. Yeah.
We were leading the game the whole time.
And we was whooping their ass, and all of a sudden we lost. Like, what the hell?
Seven-step drop, five-man protection.
Yeah.
And they sent the house and stripped.
That was when Mitch was there.
When A-Rob ran out of bounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
His dumb ass ran out of bounds before the damn first down. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
He could have actually got the touchdown on that play and he ran out of bounds.
Yeah.
Situational football, man.
Poor situational awareness.
What the coach does.
Coaching. Lack of discipline. We couldn't even get a playoff. We were getting, like, penalties. Oh, that's another thing. I'm going to touch on. I'll let y'all go. Matt Eberflus said he's focused on being a low penalty team. The Colts were one of the least penalized teams in the NFL. We weren't. That cost you games.
Yes.
When you.
Yeah.
That's why I was happy to see Akeem Hicks get the fuck out of here. And that's one of the main reasons why, because he was so undisciplined and he didn't care. So undisciplined. That's why I was like, man, you know, it's time for you to go. Yeah, I appreciate the time that you spent here.
I think Hicks cared, man. I don't think he was that detrimental to the squad like you do. I think you thought he was more detrimental. It is what it is. Big man gonna get some of those type of calls on him, you know what I mean? I don't think it was egregious. Put it that way.
No, that Vikings game at home, it was egregious. Cause he just was walking around like, man, whatever.
That's also the coaching staff, too.
Yeah. He was just walking around like, man, I don't give a fuck. Whatever. All right.
He wanted them to extend him. He wanted to be a Bear for life. And, you know, they were doing whatever they were doing.
Yeah, that's cool and all, you know. We appreciate your efforts, man. We love you. But, bruh, you is not Richard Dent. You know what I'm saying? You ain't Tommy Harris. We love you, but Tommy Harris, you is not. So, you know, let's let some of these young boys get this burn, man. Let them get this work. And we wish you the best wherever you go. Love you. He's in Tampa Bay now. Love you, you know. But, hey, you know, you ain't with the Bears no more, so. Fuck ya! That's how I feel. Like, man, look, once you change jerseys.
I got a little love for Hicks. I do too, but there's few people that I have a little love. Like Kyle Long, like, well, he was always, well, he was the Kansas City Chief. But I'll have always have a little love.
Man, look.
B. Marsh.
Yeah, but man, did you hear them people talk about, well, the Bears need a right guard. Somebody, we got a new regime. Somebody get Kyle Long back on the phone. He said, I'm like, man, what the fuck? Like, is you serious right now?
Bro, this obsession with the right guard.
Oh, my God.
Insane shit.
Like, oh, my God, we don't have a right guard. What are we going to, like, man, shut up. All right. Chill out, man. Chill out, bro. Like, goddamn, it's going to be so many motherfucking right guards on a scrap heap all through preseason. It ain't going to be funny. Plenty of veterans are going to be getting released. Because teams don't want to pay them.
What's the one guy? He played with Kansas City, the doctor dude, DuVernay.
Yeah.
Somebody said he was out for the season. I read something. He said, no, he ain't out for the season. He said, when he and him want to go to training camp, he said, I'll perform medicine, saving lives, doing real shit. He said, I want to go to training camp. He said, somebody want to bring me in and pay me a couple million to play right guard, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like, he just don't want to deal with training camp.
Yeah, he's a doctor. He don't need to do. He's right. Like, I'd rather be a doctor. I'd rather save some. He's like a neurosurgeon, bro. Yeah. Like saving lives. Yeah. He's in training camp, pushing a sled. He know how to play football. He's 30 years old. Like you said, come on. Either one of these young guys that we got are going to work out, or they're just going to sign some veteran.
That's it. I don't understand why the sky is not falling, folks. Relax. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Perfect example. You know, James Daniels bum ass when he signed to go to the Steelers and everybody act like we just let go of fucking Dan Hampton or somebody, man.
Roberto Garza
or Baselli. Yeah. Tony Baselli. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or one of the damn Matthews brothers and shit from the one that was the offensive lineman, you know what I'm saying, for the Oilers. They act like we didn't let go of him. Like, man, chill the hell out. And then they showed the play against the Steelers where Justin Fields is back there scrambling around or whatever. And my man Hayward picked him off. Well, guess who man got the pressure? Mm-hmm. It was James Daniels' man. What the fuck was he doing over there? It's too many times I've seen James Daniels scooping his fat ass off the damn field, clapping his damn hands. Damn! I'm sorry, man. Beating his chest like that's my fault. You goddamn right it's your fault. I just got planted in the damn ground, dude. The hell you mean?
You got a good man reading, dude. He rated 78 and he's a star.
Right.
PFF gave him a good grade, so you know you shouldn't have let him go.
These damn nerds, man. And you know what? The first time I ever heard of Pro Football Focus, it was coming out of the mouth of Ryan Pace. Pro Football Focus ranks him at, and I was like, oh shit, here we go.
The first time I heard it was coming out of that fool on Sunday Night Football.
Collinsworth,
because that's his shit. Yeah.
He owns it.
Yeah.
He owns that crap. So, you know, he always, every telecast, he uses something out of Pro Football Focus several times. He got on my nerves with it too, man. You know, like you said, it's nerves, man. They collect a bunch of data and then they try to throw a bunch of numbers out there. And nobody really understands how they came up with the numbers. That's what pisses me off about it. If you can't explain to me how you came up with this, it means nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It means nothing.
That's what I said. It's good for data collection. You want to find out, you know, how many snaps a player played, how many penalties he gave up, you know. All that's fine. But the grades, I'm like, I don't know how you grade. I that's the part like you're talking about, man. Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm watching a football game, right? And I'm seeing one guy and he's playing a certain way and I see another guy. Like, I'm gonna be blunt. Like, I watched enough James Daniels play, right? And I watched Lucas Patrick play because I got all 22, right? Lucas Patrick plays better than James Daniels.
Facts.
But Madden has James Daniels rated higher. PFF has James Daniels. And I'm looking at the game, and I'm just like, I've seen Lucas Patrick, not all the time, because he's not an all-pro. All-pros dominate all the time. I've seen him dominate his man from time to time. The only time I've seen James Daniels dominate his man was when that dude jumped in the air and he, like, body slammed him.
It caught him in the air and made it look like, yeah. Right.
This is the only time I've ever seen him pancake anybody. He hasn't pancaked anybody. Show me tape of James Daniels pancaking somebody.
Oh, his ass was getting pancaked too often. he was getting pancaked too often. Like, man, get your fat ass up.
I seen Lucas Packers take Anthony Barr like 50 yards down the field and like just stone cold stunner his ass, dude. You know, like, that's what
I think a lot of it has to do with James Daniels, his potential, right? Because he's still, what, 24?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? We get to see James Daniels up close and personal. When he came in the league, he was 20 years old as mm-hmm. a boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'll just be honest with you. You line him up against men, and it ain't going to go well. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
At 20 years old.
Facts.
You know, so – you know what I mean? I felt like I was patient with him long enough. You know, we moved on. I'm cool with moving on. I think we was patient because you was watching and letting him grow a little bit and come into his body. I mean, most kids are coming out of college and they're 23 years old. So, you know, you're really looking at a rookie last year in normal situations, you know, for James Daniels. So, you know, hey, it is what it is, man. I ain't going to bang on him too hard. But at the end of the day, you know, we moved on and I'm good. I'm good with moving on from him. Because you didn't, you know, there was potential, but you got to see that potential through at some point, and it wasn't happening with him.
Yeah, like, you got a flash. Like, he was okay. You know, I wouldn't say he was, like, this horrible guy, but to pick him in the second round, you would expect him, because, like, to be right. better. Like, even Cody Whitehair, he's a second-round draft pick. He's made a Pro Bowl before. You know, like, to me, he wasn't even there. You know, and that's it, man. You know, I don't think he was worth it. I felt the same way about him, and I liked him. And I like this guy, too. I like Bilal Nichols, too. But it was the same kind of scenario where they were okay. You're okay with letting okay players go. You know, you don't want to let good to great players go. But they were okay. They weren't bad. They weren't great. They were just okay, you know.
Right.
And if you and I kind of got why they didn't bring them back, because they're looking for a nastiness. They're looking for.
They weren't meanness. Physical enough, bro. Like James Daniels, mean people. He had the tools, but he wasn't physical. He wasn't physical. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
He didn't beat nobody up. And they needed somebody. They want somebody pose. I mean, pose. He wants somebody physical on the offensive line. You gotta have some physicality up
there. Even over skills, even over like technique wise.
Exactly.
Because the offensive line, that's a nasty position. You're banging heads. You got to be a mean, angry dude to just do that repeatedly. And I'd rather have a guy, I don't know, like Richie Incognito, who's just a mean dude, right?
Right.
He's going to get in the bar fight every single play. Right. And that's what they want. They want an athletic guy and a guy that's going to be getting the bar fight every single play. And I kind of get it. He was athletic, but he didn't have the nastiness or the meanness, you know, that they desire. So I get it. I get it.
I get it.
So as far as that goes, man, camp, what are y'all expecting out of camp? Like, real quick, you know, what y'all want?
I just don't excuse me, damn. I just don't want nobody to get hurt. That's my thing. So I just don't want nobody to get hurt. I want everybody to come out of camp healthy. I want everybody to come out of camp healthy. I want everyone to be safe. No injuries. No major injuries. I like to see Justin Fields. I like to see the progression from year one to year two, especially in preseason. And shut these pundits up, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you, all it'll take is one series where Justin Fields go out there and go 4 for 4 for 56 yards and a touchdown. Boom. Then, watch how quick the narrative changes. Is Justin Fields ready to arrive? You know, that shit pissed me off the other day when I see Keyshawn Johnson sit up there and, this team sucks. There's no talent on this roster. How you know? You ain't in there with them. You don't know what they doing. Every fucking team you play for was sorry.
People just want to put hot takes out there.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You know, every team you play for was sorry outside of that Tampa Bay squad that you luckily fell into.
Right.
Like, come on, man. How you going to say something like that? You think these men ain't out here? I want y'all people to understand this, okay? Ain't no fucking body in the NFL trash.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
I want y'all to understand this. These motherfuckers was all state at the high school level, all world at some point in their careers to get to the NFL. Nobody is trash, all right? They just may not be cut out for the NFL level, but no one is trash by any stretch of the imagination. And it baffles me when people make these comments like these guys are like motherfuckers walking off the street trying to play football.
Well, you got guys that are making these comments, and it's based off of the name recognition, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Keyshawn Johnson is not. How many games you think Keyshawn Johnson watched of the Chicago?
Zero. Players?
How many clips do you think he watched?
Very few.
He didn't watch much. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be real, right? So he looked at the names, same thing like my homeboy did in Texas, right? Darnell Mooney, you know, and Velus Jones and Byron Pringle, N'Keal Harry, and you looked at their stats and their numbers that they put up last year, and that's what you go off of, right? Mm-hmm. So name recognition and the stats, which is fantasy, really, mm-hmm. is what people are going off of. And then they dream up and they put out these outlandish statements and things when it comes to, you know, what you think the roster looks like and the talent that these guys have. And at the end of the day, you haven't watched a lick of the football games. You haven't watched them guys play. You don't even know their skill sets. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do they know Velus Jones, what he's capable of doing? You know what I mean? No, you don't know it because you didn't watch no Tennessee games. Nope. I'm sure of it. So when I see that type of stuff, I know where it's coming from. I turn a blind eye to it sometimes, man, because it's just, you know, fighting them battles, bro. It's exhausting, bro, because we're going to fight more of those than there are to be fought, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's ultimately up to the team, man, for them to become that team. And if they become that team, they ball out. Justin Fields ball out, that'll handle itself. Because then you're going to know who Velus Jones is. You're going to know who Darnell Mooney is. You know, you're going to know who the defense is. You're going to know who Justin Fields and all these guys are. So it's up to them. And this is a young team. That's kind of the thing when you're a young team, man. They got a chance to make a name for themselves. And I think these boys putting in work, man. They working. You know? So I think they're going to have an opportunity to do that, man.
You see them out there doing
absolutely. I see them working. And what pisses me off is the fact that they act like these – like they just like these men ain't trying. You know what I'm saying? Like they just going out there, like going through the motions, like, yeah, whatever. All right, we just gonna go out here and lay down. No, they men too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what y'all gotta understand. And just because they're not names to you, do you think these men out here ain't trying to make a name for themselves? Because again, who the fuck was Akeem Hicks before Akeem Hicks came to the Bears? A no-namer.
He was passed around the league.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. A no-namer.
I mean, how many teams did he play with? New Orleans.
New England.
Patriots. New England.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So I want y'all to understand this before y'all start making these stupid-ass remarks. All right? Who the fuck was Richard Sherman before he came to Seattle?
Exactly.
That's why I said the Legion of Boom. Who was Bruce Irvin before he got to Seattle? A no-namer. They said the same shit about the Seattle Seahawks defense the year they dominated the NFL. Who the hell are these guys? Who the fuck was Cam Chancellor before he got to Seattle?
Right.
You didn't know who they were.
Really had a name.
Earl.
Was
Earl Thomas coming out of Texas. You know, that was it. Texas.
That's the only one that really had a name out of that group, man.
That was it.
To be honest with you, you know?
You didn't know who the hell Bronner was? The corner opposite of Richard Sherman?
Browner.
You didn't know who he was.
You just knew he was 6'4".
Exactly. Right along with Richard Sherman. You didn't know who the hell none of these cats was.
Cornerback.
Damn right. You didn't know who none of these cats were. Okay? Perfect example. It's a lot of guys in the NFL, again, they don't fucking get good by chance. They don't get good by luck. They get good because they got the opportunity to fucking play.
Yeah. You can do the Bears. Remember that Bears love you team? Like, who's Peanut?
Exactly.
Peanut, what did we play from? Louisiana Lafayette.
Come on, bro. Yeah.
And another thing that you know, when you say, when we say opportunity, these guys got an opportunity to play, but they got an opportunity in the right system with the right coaches.
Yes.
And with coaches that taught them something about the game of football, right? And that's what the Bears, that's what we think the Bears have. It remains to be seen, but I believe Eberflus is going to go out there and teach guys how to play football.
Facts.
How to be good at their craft, right?
Facts.
I think we got people that are going to help Justin Fields develop the talent that he has and let that come to fruition on the football field. That's what we're talking about here. The opportunities are going to be there. You got coaching that's going to be there. You got the systems that are going to be there that are designed to help these guys be better. And we're going to see what happens.
Preach.
You know,
that's as real as it get.
I ain't got nothing else to say to
that. Me either. That's as real as it get.
Because that's exactly what it is. If we got the right coaching staff, man, and we had the right coaches, coaching is really important. This is how you win. Teach the players the game. This is it. Yep. That's why do you think teams have the same coach for 20 years and they keep winning, like the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin? Because he's a good coach, bro. He knows what he's doing. So, man.
I had somebody tell me a couple weeks ago, bro, that coaching was not that important. These guys are going to be good because they're just good. And I'm like, I'm like, man, whatever, bro.
Like, I'm done. Whatever. I'm not going to argue with you, bro. You're right.
I can't argue that, bro. I'm not going to argue no more. I'm done.
People are fucking mouth breathing.
It's exhausting, bro.
That's what I said. I ain't even
nigga walk away tired after
you,
that.
Yeah.
Walk away tired, bro.
If you notice, I don't even argue with people no more. I'll just be like, man, you know what? I just ain't gonna say nothing to you.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna respond to your dumbass comments. So if you listening to this podcast and wonder, damn, why Nails don't ever respond? Because that shit was stupid. Not responding to that. Not respond to it at all. So you be dumb on your own time, and go and be dumb with the rest of the dumb motherfuckers, and just
they do be ignored. They congregate together. They be in the circle jerks are saying the same thing. Yeah, man. Yeah. He's like, oh, y'all, the hell y'all talking about?
Right. Like, man, like, get that shit out of here.
Oh man, so man, I ain't got nothing else, man. As far as shout outs. We can shout out Ray's Juke Joint, brother Ray the Barber. He on Bad Guy Radio now, right?
Yes, sir. Shout out to Ray.
Shout out to Ray. They Sox fans, but we still love them, though.
Yeah, they Sox fans.
Lord, forgive them because they not know what they do.
I like to go in there and get on them, bro. You know, I'm laughing at them. You know what I mean? I might stop in later on today. The Sox are down 8-2 right now, so I'm
ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Drug
ooh.
Again.
Yeah, shout out. Also, I'll give a shout out to Adam Rank. He had me on again. He was trying to get me on.
Shout out to Adam, man. What's the word? Shout out to Adam. Sure. I'm still waiting. Hey, Adam, if you listening, I'm still waiting on that follow back, homie.
I'm going to hit him up now.
Still waiting on that follow back, man.
I'm going to hit him up.
Yeah, still waiting on that follow back, my man.
I'm gonna hit him up. Yeah, man. So
shout out to y'all too, man. Y'all, you know, for the writing assignments.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Shout out to my man Perez, man. You know, shout out to him for real. You know what I'm saying? He put us on, got us doing blogs and everything now. You know what I'm saying? On Bears Talk. So y'all make sure y'all pay attention to that. Actually,
reading them articles, man. It breaks it down. It gives you some perspective, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we want to provide. We want to provide context and perspective from the, you know, we talking about football. But yeah, everybody can talk about it, but let's get the real perspective.
So,
you guys did a good job with both of them writing assignments, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
And then you did one, so that was pretty dope right there. I like that.
Thanks.
I got one coming too on Justin Fields, by the way.
Facts. Facts. Yeah, waiting on that. I actually did that article. I was sick. So a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, just what's been going on with the Three Kings lately, man. Ain't nothing, you know, really one. It wasn't really one shit to talk about. And then two, you know what I'm saying, I was sick as a damn dog, man. You know, crazy thing about it was, you know, I thought it was COVID, but it wasn't. It turned out to be strep throat. And shit, I was running a fever of 104.7. You know, and shit, and then of course, you know, I went to the hospital the next day. They gave me some antibiotics and whatnot, and that shit wasn't working. You know what I'm saying? It took me until about day four to realize this shit ain't working. So then, you know, after that, I had to go back to the doctor and go get a different form of antibiotics. And then, of course, you know, letting that play its way out, you know what I'm saying? And that shit was just, it was brutal. But, you know, more so the thing that lingered on is this damn cough. You know what I'm saying? It ain't because I'm coughing because I'm sick. I'm coughing because it feel like I got a speckle of pepper in the back of my damn throat and it's choking the hell out of me. You know what I'm saying? That sucks, man. You know what I'm saying? And I guess it just goes away over time. So I was given Z-Pak and A-Pak and all that other shit. You know what I'm saying? It worked. So cool. I ain't sick. It's just now I got this damn lingering ass cough. But I couldn't be coughing and shit all over the damn airwaves. I couldn't control it either. You know what I'm saying? I would, like, it would be to the point where I'm coughing for like, you know, 5, 6, 7 damn minutes straight. Like coughing like I done chief some of that Lyle pack. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. And Cass like, damn, you smoking? I'm like, nah, man, I ain't smoking. It's just this goddamn cough.
We're turning Three Kings into smoke champs.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Noriega.
Straight up. So that's why we ain't came out with nothing. And you know what I'm saying? These my two brothers, you know what I'm saying? They like, look, man, if you ain't able to go, bro, don't sweat it. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't able to go, we'll wait. And that's real. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, I'm forever thankful for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm forever thankful for that. So, we don't operate if we like Voltron, motherfucker. We don't operate without the other. It is what it is.
That's it.
You ain't never heard a episode without all three being there.
Yeah, you know, we all three here.
Exactly. Three here. You know, it ain't the Three Kings without the three.
No rush on it, man. You can get well and get healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we do what we do.
Straight up. Sports would be here. We would just been ratting anyway.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, get healthy. Because I was just mad at people with their stupid takes anyway. So all I was going to do come over here and roast them.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't worth it. Your health is way more important than just coming over here and roasting people.
Facts.
They horrible takes.
Exactly. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Wait. People been waiting on it like good cook crack, man. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, man, now, they've been asking for it.
Oh yeah, they've been asking for it. Like we laced patient, it with fentanyl, man. You know what I'm saying? They've been asking for it like we laced it with fentanyl, man. But nah, we here, you know what I'm saying? So we gave you the recent episode. Again, until camp start, it's gonna be slow. So, you know, once things start clicking and once stuff start popping off, trust and believe, we're going to be live and center. And I'm getting back to breaking down film with my crazy ass analytics and everything else. You know what I'm saying? Of giving analysis. Like, look at this fat motherfucker right here not doing jack shit. Like I did with Charles Leno, man. Yeah, it seemed like everybody loved that one. This fat ass was doing a hokey pokey up there. Like, bruh, like, come on, man. You're going to block somebody.
I just hope this year, I don't think they're going to allow that type of effort.
Bruh.
I was listening to Thomas Graham on the Bears network, and he was like, nah.
Bruh, it was one play where they had my man, what's dude name from Old Dominion? They had him at guard. Yeah, dude stood coward. Up. And that dude stood the fuck up, turned around in a circle, dog, and just looked and then blocked no fucking body.
Wasn't that with Aaron Donald? He just stood there and just.
I said, what the hell is this?
Dudes. He was like, I don't know who to block, so I ain't gonna block nobody.
Dude just stood up and turned around in a circle and just was like looking at everybody else blocked, like, damn, who I'm supposed to get? That motherfucker was just standing there. I'm like, bruh, if I would have saw that. And I'm like, there's no way these coaches is watching film. There's no way, because y'all kept starting the motherfucker.
That's what I'm saying. Right. He started the next week. He stayed in the game and started the next couple of weeks.
Like, there's no way. How are you allowing this to happen? It was like, y'all can't be watching film. That's when I knew, like, this coaching staff is fucked. They don't know what they doing. And they can't be watching the fucking film. Can't be. Dude literally stood up and turned, like, not turned in a circle to block somebody. He walked in a circle like a motherfucker that was lost. Like, damn, am I supposed to go left? Or am I supposed to go right? Oh, damn. Okay, and then he turned around and looked, and he was just like, fuck, he just walked back to the huddle. Like, really? instantly, I'd have been like, duh, he's released.
I'm cutting him.
Today.
I'm like, hey, bro, just go to the locker room. Go to the locker room.
Yeah, he'd have got that Mike Singletary treatment. He'd have got that Mike Singletary treatment when he went and got Vernon Davis. Said, no, my man, to the locker room. I didn't say to the bench. Get your ass to the locker room.
Can't do it.
Don't even be
Can't do it.
No.
Can't do it.
I'd have cut him that game. I was like, he's been, hey, what about Rashad Carroll? He's been released. No further questions. I have nothing else to say. Next question.
Cut his ass. What was that on the water, boy? Well, my man was running hard as hell past the coach, like, hoo. He ran past him. The coach was like, cut his ass. Dude was blowing it out hard as hell, too. Dude was blowing it out hard as hell, too. I think I got that clip somewhere. Dude was blowing it out hard as hell. Motherfucker was like, cut his ass. Like, damn. That was funny as hell. I got to find this damn clip. Where is it at, man? He was like, cut his ass. I'm like, damn. Here it go right here.
Find it, man. My boy's like, get my ass outside and play some basketball.
Check him out. My man ran by him. He was like,
cut his ass. Cut his ass.
It was a lot of Bears play that should have been played for in that year, especially 2019 and 2020. There's a lot of players that should have been
getting over, bro.
There's a lot of boys should have been cut. Oh, man. Yeah, man. Oh, man. I who's the one guy?
What you been up to, bro?
I can't be on long. My boy's like in my ass, dude. He want to play ball, dude. He want to play ball, man. I've been up there. Maybe next time I'll feel y'all. But I want to say, they had that screenshot of the dude who said Javon Williams? Who had that? They said Nagy didn't give Javon Williams his shot, and if he did, he would have been a wide receiver too.
Wow.
I forgot who else, man. Chris Williams, Jack Cool.
Bruh. On that one. Brody, niggas rewilding. He tripping.
If Nagy would have gave Javon Williams his shot, he would have turned out to be like.
Bruh.
I couldn't even read somebody's screenshot. I just laughed. I couldn't even reply.
That's one of them you just got to retweet and just be. Brody, niggas rewilding. Straight up got Frieza saying that shit. Brody, look. Niggas be wildin'. It's funny. Like, that clip is funny as hell with Frieza from Dragon Ball Z. It looked like he's saying the exact words. Brody, look, niggas be wildin'. Like, oh my god, man, that's funny as hell.
Yeah, man, I gotta go, man. My little boy, dude. Hey, dude, that's the thing about you. You have like an athletic kid. They're all hyper.
Yeah,
can't sit still.
Yeah, that's my son.
This comes with the territory.
Yeah,
ready to go, man. Ready
to go, dude. He's throwing the ball all the time right now. All 100. He's throwing the ball. He's kicking me in the chair, dude. Right now, so I gotta go.
On that note,
man.
Peace.
Take it easy.
All right, y'all.